I just want to share for a little bit on develop the mind of Christ. Now, I've been teaching this in the Sunday school for about 3 months, but I want to go back to the beginning of it and share it with all of us to develop the mind of Christ that's in you. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, for your presence. Father, we need your wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. We're just the vessel, Lord, that you can flow through and be an encouragement to every person in here, Lord, because you love each one. You know where each one of us are at. You know what we need. And our hearts and eyes are open to you, Lord, to see your glory, to understand what you have for each one of us, so that we become more like you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Paul was teaching the Corinthian church. I'm just going to pick this one scripture out. We'll get into more scripture, but it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I didn't bring my amplified down. I wished I had. It does a good explanation there. God does not want us to instruct him. He don't need instructions, especially from us. He just wants our fellowship, our love, our peace, and to have what he has. But he wants us to know that he gave us his mind. When you got born again and you came into the body of Christ, his mind came in with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. And so if you apply your spiritual mind, which it's up to you now, not God, if you apply your spiritual mind to the things of God, the things that are spiritual, that God has spoken to us in his word, then your spiritual mind will begin to grow. The principle of the natural mind when you came into this world was basically blank. And then you had to feed it. Well, when you got born again and Christ's mind came into you, your knowledge of understanding for that spiritual mind was blank. Then you begin to feed on the Word of God and you begin to get into kindergarten and then you get into first grade and you keep growing and you mature in the body of Christ by the mind of Christ maturing in you. Remember Jesus said to, or Paul said to the Corinthian church earlier, he said, I couldn't teach you spiritual things. He said, you were still babes in Christ. And apparently they'd been saved for some time by the time Paul wrote this. And they said, but you're actually babes. Why? Because they had not applied the Word of God in their life that they had been taught. How many know that if you've read enough about Paul's epistles, Paul taught you how to grow up spiritually. He didn't just teach you how to get saved. He taught you how to grow up and mature in the body of Christ. Well, to do that, it takes the mind of Christ that is resident in you for you to feed that and use it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We've been very well fed in this church. Are we doing what we know to do? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to miss God's will. Well, if you don't do anything, you definitely will. Babies are, you know, they're afraid to get up and walk. But as they grow and they see something they want, they will pull themselves up. And if it isn't out of reach, they're going to have it all over the floor. Well, have you seen something spiritually that you want that you'll go after? God's not going to pull it out of your reach. Hallelujah. God's kingdom is kid-proof. Everything he has is within reach. Amen? He wants you to reach out and go after it. We was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. You know, we can feel when you're hungry in the natural. Unless you're sick. If you're sick physically, then you got to do what you need to do to get over it. But normally you're hungry in the natural and you go after something because you're hungry. Spiritually, we don't feel through the natural senses. We don't feel how hungry we are spiritually. But you need to train yourself. If you take 20 minutes eating food, then take 20 minutes eating spiritual food. I dare you to. It'll change your life. The word develop, it's developing your mental abilities. Spiritual abilities are in your mind, in your spiritual mind. How many know you have two minds? Well, you have one soul, but you got two minds in it. You got a spiritual mind and you got a natural mind. Which one are you thinking with? This here says, to cause to evolve or unfold gradually. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to school one day and you got it made. Now you can go to work, make money, and get what you want. How many found out they didn't cut it? Well, how many of you in here even enjoyed going to school? I see one or two hands. That's about it. Why? It's not something the flesh wants to do. It just wants to play and have fun and go where it wants and have somebody else pay for it. Well, Jesus paid for everything you need spiritually. It's all free, but you got to go after it. You got to develop that mind of Christ in you, that thinking process that God has given you, and it parallels your natural thinking process. It's a gradual growing and maturing as you walk and talk during this life. To lead or conduct something through a succession of states or changes, each of which is preparatory for the next. Whether you know it or not, everything that you're going through right now is helping you for the next step that you need to go, whether it be naturally or spiritually. You are being trained. How many like training? No, the flesh don't. Your spirit does. Your spirit likes to be trained. Your spirit wants to know what to do. Your spirit wants to please God. It wants to become more like Jesus and grow up and mature in Him. But your flesh don't. So that's how you tell whether you're thinking with your spiritual mind or your natural mind, is by where what you're thinking will take you. If it's going to take you towards God, then you're using your spiritual mind. If it's going to take you away from God, it's your natural mind thinking, and you can figure yourself out real quick. You don't need to go to college to learn how to live life. You're going to learn whether you go to college or not. I'm not down in college. Don't get me wrong at all. What you can get that will bless you and bless others and meet your need and be a blessing, then God bless you. Go for it. But know that there's a reason for what you're doing. And are you strong enough spiritually to do what you need to do so that you grow up and mature spiritually and you're in the position where God wants you to be so that when you meet somebody or you come in contact with somebody or you're asked to teach or preach or do something in the children's class, it don't matter what you're asked to do. That's when the Holy Ghost wants to work through that spiritual mind that's in you to touch others. He may use you physically to make a meal for somebody that's sick or do things. That's a wonderful thing. But it's through your spiritual mind operating out of your natural that you can be a blessing to other people. Amen? Hallelujah. So what are you thinking with this morning? Are you developing your spiritual mind? Well, another scripture, and this scripture we don't like. Matthew 16:24. Through 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Did you know that yourself was the cross? Because it's your natural self that wants to have its way. And so that's what was put on the cross. How many know it was the body of Christ on the cross that paid for your sins? It wasn't his spirit. It was his natural body on the cross. So he says, now you take up your cross and follow me. You take up, in other words, do what I did. He went to the cross willingly. And yet his flesh said, Father, if there's any other way. How many times has our flesh said, Father, if there's any other way? In other words, make it a little easier for me. I really can't handle this. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever desires to save his life. Well, every one of us want to save our life. We don't want to die. We want to stay here as long as we can. We have loved ones. We have family. We have people that we want to be with. And we have things we want to do. So we don't want to give up that life. But that's what he says. If you try and save it so that you can have your way, you'll miss God's way. This gives us all an idea that this world is bigger than your little world. Have you ever thought about how many stars or how many galaxies are out there? And Jesus knows them all by name. Billions and billions of galaxies out there. They can't see the end of it. With all our telescopes, they can't begin to see it. And yet God has that all under control. So there's a bigger world out there than you and me. He gave you a world to live in to conquer your little world. And if everybody else had changed, you wouldn't have to conquer your little world, would you? Wouldn't that be nice? See why Paul and the Lord also used marriage? Because if you can learn to grow up in a marriage and change so that you can please your mate before yourself, then if you can do it in the natural to have a good marriage, you can do it spiritually to have a good spiritual marriage in Christ and a good spiritual walk with Christ. But how many know you got to want to? Most of us are like Myrna and I was when we got married. I didn't know very little about it. And what I did know wasn't good. I had not been taught a good marriage from my home family. I don't know how she's put up with me all these years. Well, she agreed with that. But see, after about the first 2-3 years when I realized I couldn't change her, I'm the one that asked the Holy Spirit how to. And he says, I'll tell you how to change her. You change and watch her respond. How many have had God point the finger back at you when you go to him about somebody else? Yeah, amen. Hey, we're growing. He told me, he says, she's not your problem. The only problem you got, John, is you. And he's going to tell you the same thing in your walk with God. When you come to him with your problems, he's not the problem. He's the answer. And you follow him and that every problem you got will be answered in time. Notice, developing is develop. The word means to slowly change. There's no quick fix with this. I wish there was, but we wouldn't handle it. Why do you think God don't tell you some things you need to know? Because you ain't ready for it yet. How many have thought you were ready for something and you weren't and you made a big mess? Yeah, oh, I did that. I wanted to go full-time ministry and the Holy Spirit said, you ain't ready. Tried to keep working. It was good for me because that last 2 years when I was working, I fought me. I did not want to go to work. And you do not do a good job when you do not want to go to work. So I had to learn to put my mind on what I was supposed to be doing in the natural so I could learn the principle of doing the same thing spiritually. Is God going to make everything that he's called you to do easy for you? No, this is a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's not going to be easy to submit ourselves and walk in humility in every area that God has called you to help and minister to people in. Remember, you're under development. There's a lot of long ways to go yet. Verse 26, what going to profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I look at that scripture as saying, well, what's really real in life? What is really real in life? If a man... What profits a man if he gains the whole world? What would you do spiritually if you had all the money you wanted and could do anything you want? How many of us could handle it? You got to understand something about money. The more you have, the more problems you get. Once you get it, now how do you keep it? Well, you read the book of Proverbs and he tells you how to do it. You know, give and it shall, well, that's not in Proverbs. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. So in other words, if you haven't got a giving spirit, money's not going to do you a whole lot of spiritual good. And yet money can help you spiritually by giving and helping those around you, and then they help you. Did you understand that about your own cells in your own body? That the cells around the cells, they feed each other, they help each other. Not a one of them can stand by itself. If it does, pretty soon it becomes a cancer. Are you and I a cancer in the body of Christ? Are we just so self-centered that that's all we think about is the way God's going to use us to bless you? Oh, no. Verse 27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. Wow. Your works don't save you, but your works show whether you're saved or not. Because He's going to reward you according to what you did after you got saved. And I want to have some rewards, and I hope you do too. If you're not willing to bring your thoughts into captivity to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to develop the mind of Christ in you, then this is what will happen to you. As times get tougher and your level of stress increases, your thinking will get muddier and muddier, and your ability to discern things spiritually will diminish. Your decision-making faculties will come to depend almost entirely upon the wisdom of this world, and you will be left wide open to Satan's attacks. That's absolutely true. Are you willing to bring your thoughts into captivity to Christ? Now, I believe, this is just me personally, but I believe that I need to think spiritually according to the Word of God and bring them captive as much as I need to bring my natural mind captive. Just because we're born again doesn't mean we think spiritually. And you can't think spiritually unless you get the Word of God in you. The Holy Spirit has to have something to work on. And the Word of God is what He has given us to work on. And if we don't put it in there, if you're going to school, and I'm not against learning at all, then you're going to help somebody with that which you've learned in the natural. And there is not a thing wrong with that. But if you don't go to school spiritually, you're never going to be able to help somebody spiritually. And that's where most people need the help nowadays. You look at the world, look at people driving as you're driving down the road. How many of them have a peaceful smile on their face? Not many. In other words, they want your place because you shouldn't be there. They want to be there. That's true. Well, how many want to be where you're at spiritually? That's a shocking question. But we should live the life where they want what we have. So that they're willing to give of themselves to get what they need. It says we have to allow the wisdom that is from the Lord, the mind of Christ, to raise up in us and show us the way. and give us the words to say or to add to that strength. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. If I'd had time this morning, I would have had handouts for you, but I had about 5 minutes to prepare, so please forgive me. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, 5, though we walk in the flesh. How many do that? How many are going to walk out to your car with your flesh? Sure, we will. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. How many know that you're at war? You're at war right now spiritually. Spiritual forces are coming against you all the time. And they're trying to get, they're doing to you and me just what Satan did to Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted to get their thinking process off of God and onto themselves. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, you don't use the five senses. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. In other words, thinking spiritually. Thinking spiritually. Is that easy to do? You have a battle, don't you? How many of us get up in the morning ready to read the Word of God and spend some time in prayer? Huh? Well, I don't see no hands. Flesh don't want that, does it? But I'll tell you, there's a battle going on. What are you going to do with what you have? How many have a Bible? I hope everybody in here should have a Bible. In other words, your spiritual weapons are before you. What are you going to use? What did Jesus use against the devil? The Word. What have you got in your hands? The Word. What's your battle cry? The Word. Praise the Lord. Mighty through God, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The strongholds, we may want to look at them as an enemy come against us, and that may be a stronghold, but most of the strongholds we have is in our natural thinking. If you've been taught certain things by a denomination or by a person that did not know the Word of God, if you've been taught things and you chose to believe that, that has become a stronghold. And when the truth comes to you, now you've got to make a decision. Am I going to hold on to what I've been taught, or am I going to hold on to what the Holy Spirit's giving me now? How many of you, how many of us would like to eat last week's meal? Huh? If it was frozen. boy, I better shut up. That was that and be loaded. But what I'm saying is what God wants you to have is for today. Keep up on what God is saying today to you. Don't tell me what God's saying to you. It may not fit me. Now, I'm not against sharing what God shared with you. That's fine. But don't tell me that I'm the one that needs it and God gave it to you to force it on me. Don't tell me that, because I'll just laugh in your face. I know what God's telling me today, because I read His Word every day, and I know what He's talking to me about and what He's told me to do. There was one church I was in, and it was a denominational church, and I was only about 27 or 28 at the time. I was on the board of the church at the time. And there was politics in the church. Not the pastor. He was not political. But there was some other men in there that were. And they come up and tried to tell me what God wanted me to do and tell me what to do. I said, no. When He tells me, I'll do it. Until He tells me, uh-uh. No. I'm close enough to God that I know His voice. And every one of us should be, because it's real loud and clear when you read the Word of God. And I know what He's telling me. And it's a real simple way. If it's not right for you, it's not going to witness down in your heart. That's what I learned to go by. And what they were saying was bouncing off me like a bell ringing. There's something wrong here. So I just ignored what they said. I keep doing what God's called me to do. And that's all we need to do spiritually in our spiritual thinking, is do what God tells you to do. You know, I found out that out real quick. When I was raised as a kid on the farm, the one thing I learned to do was whatever my dad told me. Because if I didn't do what my dad told me, there was a razor strap or a harness strap, whichever was closest, I got it. So I learned real quick what to do. Well, I transferred that authority to when I left home, I transferred that to God. Whatever my Heavenly Father said do, you do. I was thinking with my spiritual mind. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that was how it worked. But I had learned respect because my Heavenly Father, when I got to reading the Word of God, I found out that what He said to do always worked. If they didn't do it, then they got the results of what they didn't do. How many know that you read about the children of Israel in the Old Testament? God, all He had to do is pull His protecting hand back, and they got what they sowed. And it's the same way for you and me. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. God has you protected when you're obedient before Him. But when you're disobedient, then things are going to happen in your life that never needed to and shouldn't have. That's how life is. Go to Galatians 6:14. I want to read that before we go farther. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We need to be crucified to the world thinking. And that isn't easy. Paul says, I have been. That means it's a past tense. He's not going to be. He has been. That's when your body's hanging on the cross, literally, you wouldn't be doing what you wanted, would you? If you took up your cross and followed Him, your body, physically speaking, is on the cross. And so you can't just run and do everything you want to do. Okay, let's move on here. I can tell this is getting touchy. The operation of the discernment is conducted by the mind of Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit. I like that statement. The operation of discernment is conducted by the mind of Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit. Basically, what they're saying is that you have put the Word of God in you to the point where the Holy Spirit, no matter what you're going through, the Holy Spirit can give you Scripture that will guide you and direct you and protect you. Because if you don't do what you shouldn't do, then you're not going to get those results. I'm trying to make this simple, because God is very simple. Yeah, He's also, there isn't anything as smart as He is, but there isn't anything as simple as He is either. You read there in some of our history books, you know, God. You can find out through science how big God is. You know, there's a one star out there, what they've found so far, that I think you can put 100 million of our sun inside of. And you can put millions of our earth inside of our sun. The size. I don't know how big God is because there ain't nothing to measure Him with. How big can your mind go to measure how big God is? I believe scientists have told us that space is expanding at the speed of light. Well, where's the end of it then? Figure that one out. And as soon as you get it figured out, tell me. And He's that big. Can He handle you? Yeah, He can, can't He? You have to direct your thinking process to natural or spiritual thinking. That's going on all the time. You're either thinking naturally or you're thinking spiritually. And you're not sinning if you're thinking naturally, because there are times you have to. You can't pray in tongues and expect your job to get taken care of without you doing it. How long would your boss let you just go and pray in tongues and let your tell them that, hey, I'm doing my work, but there's nothing going? No, there's a time for both. The Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ work together. The reason you have the mind of Christ is because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because He has that mind. Therefore, so do you. It isn't that your mind has always been replaced by the mind of Christ, but rather that your mind is being renewed and retrained by the Holy Spirit as you allow it to flow and think in the patterns that He does. Did you realize you could do that? You can actually think in the patterns that the Holy Spirit thinks. You know, you watch Pastor get up here under the anointing, watch Lonnie, John, Mike, and different ones get up here. When they give themselves to the Lord to let Him speak through them, that is the pattern of the Holy Spirit's thinking. Victor gets up here and preaches under the anointing. That's the patterns of the Holy Spirit using through him what the body of Christ needs. And it's the same with all of us. And then many of you, when you're testifying or talking to people, encouraging them, the Holy Spirit is helping your natural mind to become patterned like the Holy Spirit, to become a blessing to them, because you give them what you have. They receive that, and then they go give it to somebody else. Hallelujah. So you have the pattern of the Holy Spirit in your spiritual thinking, not in your natural thinking. How many know your natural thinking is very self-centered? So if you're thinking self-centered thinking, then you're thinking with your natural mind. And it'll put you at the center of it. See, that's what Satan did when he fell. Instead of leaving God center, the way it was made, he put himself center. Then he had to come and get Adam and Eve to do the same thing and get self-centered. And so they fell along with him. Well, we're offspring of Adam and Eve, and our natural mind is still self-centered. Your spiritual mind is not self-centered. Your spiritual mind is centered on the things of God and the Word of God and who He is and who you want to be in Him. How many want to be like Jesus? Amen. Well, you and I all have the ability to do that, because we have His mind in us. Now develop that mind. And don't get discouraged because, you know, you don't feel like you've learned enough in a year's time or 5 years' time. I remember Dave Robins used to say, my lightning quick mind only took me 20 years to figure that one out. We all got slow minds when it comes to those things, but it's because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the teacher, and He will take you along at the speed that you're learning, and we don't all learn at the same speed. Every one of us in here is different. If we had the ability to see in the heart of any one of us in here, and you could see 10 people, you'd have 10 different areas of spiritual growth, because everyone is individual. And that's a good thing. Everyone is unique. Aren't you glad of that? What would this church be like if every one of us in here was exactly the same? Boring? Yeah, there's only one idea, right? praise the Lord. And that's true of all of us. Thank God there's only one of us. When you were born into this natural life, you were born with a mind, but you had to program it with information. Your spiritual mind must be programmed with the Word of God continually. The same as we learn something new every week. You have to continually be growing mentally, learning, growing, changing. because everything is moving. Well, it's the same way spiritually. I hope you're not the same age spiritually that you were a year ago. You know, are you different? Can you tell that you're different? Other people can, but can you? We need to look at ourselves every year and see what we're doing spiritually. Because if we're not growing spiritually, then what are we doing? And why aren't we growing spiritually? Are you complaining to God that you don't want to graduate to the next grade? I don't want to go back to school, Lord. No, he wouldn't get very far with him. Developing the mind of Christ requires our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ must be developed in us to be useful to us and to the Lord. When you were born, you had muscles, but they weren't too useful to you. You possessed them, but you couldn't use them. But as you developed those muscles and your mind, you became stronger and more coordinated. I don't see any adults running around on their hands and knees anymore because they can't walk. Why? They developed. Why? Because they wanted something. They got up, they can run faster than they could crawl. So they got up and ran. You guys understand, you got kids. Pretty soon they're into everything. Well, as babies, Christians in the Lord, if that's what you are, you should be into anything you can get a hold of spiritually. Get after the things of God. But that shouldn't quit when you're a child or you get mature spiritually. You should still be hungry on the things of God. All truth is parallel. That is, if something is true in the natural realm, it will also be true in the spiritual realm. Therefore, if muscles and mental processes must be developed in the natural realm to be useful, then we can understand that the mind of Christ, God's gift to us at our spiritual birth, must be developed if it is going to be of any use to us later on. Amen. So are you developing the mind of Christ in you? Are you doing it on purpose? That is your purpose in life. If you're born again, your purpose in life is to become like Jesus, and to do that, you must develop the mind of Christ in you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. This is where Paul is kind of correcting the Corinthian church because they had not grown up spiritually. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I could to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life." Wow, that's a slam, Paul. Have you noticed one thing about Paul? He says it the way it is. He just says it the way he sees it. And he says, "Hey, you guys, you're still thinking like the world. Why?" Verse 2, "I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready." Go to 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. And in this, I wished I had a better translation on this one. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, because it does a better job. Do you have any other translations up there? A new NLT or one of them? So get rid of all evil behavior. Ouch. How many found that easy to do? Be done with all deceit. Now he names the evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kind of speech. And verse 2 tells you how to do it. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. See, he gives the answer to verse 1. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. How do you get rid of? Most of the time, you have to get rid of something, you have to replace it. Put something in the place of. I have a mind that's active all the time, and I'll get a song in my mind and it just drives me nuts. It just goes over and over and over and over. And I get something. I'll go turn the radio on. I'll go do something to shut that down so I can force my mind onto something else. I hope I'm not the only one that has that problem. But it's replacing that song with something that helps me move on. You know, I can remember something. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Learned that when I was about so high. You know, that still replays. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. One of the first songs I ever learned when I was 5, 6 years old. It still goes off in my mind. I don't know what starts it. But I know how to replace it now. Praise the Lord. But it's just something you learn to do, and you build a habit of reading God's Word every day. If you're going to eat food every day, then you should read your Bible every day. Make sure you're spiritually fed, so when a problem comes up, you can think spiritually rather than the natural. Oh yeah, you need the natural. Your car quits, you call somebody, you get help and stuff like that. But you don't lose your spiritual equilibrium over it. Don't make a disaster out of something. It's fixable. Just fix it. Control it. Back in your note, or not, you don't have notes. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? Basically, Paul and Peter was saying the same thing. And verse 2 took care of it. Desire that sincere, pure milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Grow up into salvation. Salvation is not a one-time thing. I was basically taught in church when I was raised as a kid that you get saved, you get baptized in Jesus' name, and you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that's, you had it made. I can just live the rest of your life. And that's the way most Christians lived it. I could never do that. There was a gnawing inside of me. I had to know more. There was something inside that I had to feed. So I started feeding it. Thank God I did. Paul says here in verse 4, when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. That's quite a statement, Paul. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. How many of us are doing what God gave us? I found out if I stay busy doing what God's called me to do, I don't have time to mess with your life. Amen. It's a full-time job, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's part of growing up. It gets back to what I said earlier. When I talked to God about my wife, He says, she ain't your problem. You are. You change. Well, finally, I just said, okay, Lord, she's perfect. Still is, as far as I'm concerned. You know, if I live to be 100, we'll just keep right on enjoying life. Why? Because God changed me. She can't change me, and I can't change her. You can't change each other, but God can. Hallelujah. Can you imagine just the people in this church, what God's got to put up with? I'm glad I serve a big God, aren't you? And He loves you in spite of you. And He blesses you. And He guides and He protects you. He loves you. Hallelujah. That was good songs this morning, Tammy. Never let go. I love that song. Why? Because his love is beyond my understanding. I wished I could understand the love of God, but my natural mind cannot. And all my spiritual mind do is just accept it and thank him for it. And enjoy it. Do you know, the more you try and understand something, the less you can enjoy it. Because your mind's wrapped up in trying to understand something that God gave you that you don't need to understand. Just enjoy it. How many understand eternal life? You've got it inside of you. You're living a part of eternal life right now. The Spirit in Christ in you is eternal. Your spiritual being is eternal. You're living eternity right now. The only problem you and I got is we got the flesh to deal with while we're here. And it's not eternal. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad? You get a new body. Could you imagine people that what heaven would be like if we still had our natural body? First thing you do is have an argument. You know what? There ain't going to be no arguments in heaven. There ain't going to be one. I know there's going to be billions of people up there, but there won't be one argument up there. Why? Because Jesus is center and everybody's eyes are on him and not themselves. Your mind will not be on you when you're up there. It'll be on who he is and loving everybody and just enjoying eternal life for eternity. Oh my, what we have. We are blessed. Hallelujah. So develop that spiritual mind. You know, I could go on here, but I'm done. Let's just work on your spiritual thinking process. You can't do it without the Word of God and prayer. Them things go together. You cannot, you know, you can't do it without that. So think about that. Think about who you are spiritually. Think about who you are in Him. Think about what you need to go deeper in the things of God and become more like Him. Use your spiritual mind. Know which mind you're thinking with. When you're operating out of fear and anger, you're not operating out of your born-again spirit. You're operating out of the flesh. And it's going to get you in trouble. So let's stand. Praise God. If anyone doesn't know Jesus as your Savior and you want to, the altars are open and we invite you to come forward. We have personal workers that will go with you and we'll get that taken care of. If anyone wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do that and get to speaking in other tongues. And that certainly is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I don't know how people live without it, but it's something if you don't have, you can certainly have it this morning. And if you need prayer for healing, come on up. God's here to do that. I'm not the healer. He is. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for them spending their time here, Lord, because they love you and they want to become more like you. Father, I just pray that the word that you've shared today with us, Lord, that it will continue to be in our minds and our thoughts. And that, Father, we can know that we're thinking with our spiritual mind because you are living in us. Thank you for it, Father. Bless them. Keep them safe on their way home. In Jesus' name. Amen.